talk about what is curiosity, just to kind of start from the beginning. What is it and how do we lose it?
You know, we all know that curiosity is kind of, you know, the desire to learn and do more, explore areas we don't know. But in the business setting, I was looking at it beyond that. I was looking at it how to get out of status quo thinking. And I think of curiosity as just the ability to ask questions and explore and feel comfortable doing it without something holding you back and keeping you in that status quo kind of way of thinking. Because when you're a kid, you always are that way, right? You're exploring, you're figuring things out. I love this picture. When I give a talk, I show these two little girls, and they're at the San Francisco Museum of Art. And there's just all this incredible artwork all around them. And instead of looking at the artwork, they're looking through the grate on the ground. There's this like vent that they want to see what's behind the vent.
That's great.
And, I mean, that's what you, when you're a kid, that's what you do, right? You're like, oh, what's behind there? And as I'm looking at the picture, I'm like wanting to know what's behind there. You know, and you wonder when you lose that, you know, your parents get off the ground, you're getting dirty, stand up, you know what it's like, what we do with our kids, right? And we lose it, you know, around age five, it peaks. Everybody's got this really high level of curiosity. It peaks, and then around age five tanks, you know, and as we get older, it just really drops. It's that with curiosity and creativity both. I mean, we really see a huge decline. And that was what was interesting to me when I started writing my book about curiosity. I started to think, well, what happened to it? Where's it going? And how do we get it back? And so that was what my interest was.
That's very interesting. I love that. The idea of the great. That's fantastic. So tell me a little bit more about curiosity in the business world. What are some of the benefits of bringing curiosity into the work that we do?
You know, as I wrote the book, I started to think about all the things that companies complain about and all the things that they hire me to speak about, like, you know, in terms of leadership, soft skills. And a lot of it is engagement, innovation, productivity, all those things that everybody's pain points of what they're trying to fix. We know companies lose $500 billion a year for low engagement. Everybody quotes the Gallup survey. And, you know, and there's all these numbers of hundreds of billions that we're losing for communication from all these things. And we all know that artificial intelligence is going to take all these jobs. And what are we going to do with all these people? And the same conversations come up over and over again, right? And I thought, well, I'm going to write a chapter about each of these things. You know, like I have one on emotional intelligence and one on this and one on that. You know, and I started to think, wow, no matter what I wrote about, no matter what the problem was, it kept coming back to curiosity as the solution, which was interesting to me because when I give a talk, I also share this story about curiosity and thinking of it like baking a cake, okay? You're gonna bake a cake. What do? You mix ingredients, right? You've got flour and oil and eggs and whatever your ingredients are. For me, it's cake mix because I'm lazy. But whatever it is, you mix it together, right? And you put it in a pan and you put it in the oven. So what happens? Well, if you don't turn on the oven, nothing happens, right? You get goo. No one gets cake. And that's what's happening in the workplace. All the things we're talking about, the soft skills and then motivation and innovation and engagement, those are the cake mix ingredients. But nobody's turning on the oven, which is curiosity. That's the spark to all these things. And without it, you get goo. You're not getting, so we're getting goo, okay? And that's what I'm trying to avoid. So that's how this is so important in the workplace. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember your initial question exactly. What was it?
What are some of the benefits of bringing curiosity into the work you do? Yeah.
Those are the benefits because mm-hmm. when you have curiosity, you have motivation and drive and engagement and all these things. And then the benefit, if you tie it all the way down, of course, is productivity, which of course mm-hmm. is financial benefit because mm-hmm. everybody's more successful.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you talked about, it's just kind of tying into this, you talked about some of the factors that hold people back from achieving their full potential as business owners and entrepreneurs. Can you tell me about some of those things that curiosity can help overcome?
Well, you know, if you're asking about the factors that inhibit curiosity, I that's what I was thinking, what I wanted to figure out. And mm-hmm. it was really challenging as I was writing the book. I thought, okay, so there's all these assessments out there that determine what whether you're curious or not. I'm like, well, that didn't really help me. If I have a high or a low level curiosity, well, if I have a low level, then what do I do, right? You just, it didn't get me where I wanted to go. So I started to, I put links, like threads out in LinkedIn asking people, you know, what keeps you from being curious? And I got a lot of fear kind of related things. Nobody wants to look stupid or unprepared and, you know, got a lot of that stuff. And I started thinking, well, I need to create an assessment that determines what keeps people from being curious so that I can fix what's stopping it and move forward. Mm-hmm. So I hired people from Harvard and Pepperdine, all these people I talked to, the real smart people, trying to get them because they were psychometric statisticians to get these questions. And no, I hired so many people to help me with this. And a lot of them were just giving me the same old questions, are you curious or not kind of questions. Mm-hmm. I'm like, no, I don't want that. I want to know what's stopping you. So now I've learned from all these people and I taught myself factor analysis and did all these things to figure out how to calculate the right questions and the data to make sure it was valid and all that, and found all the right questions to ask. And I found the four factors that were the inhibitors of curiosity. So the acronym is FATE, F-A-T-E, which stands for fear, assumptions, which is the voice in your head, what you're telling yourself, mm-hmm. Technology, and environment. And it was really fascinating to me. I mean, I really knew fear would be there, no question. Everybody doesn't want to look stupid. I mean, you're mm-hmm. in the meeting, and you don't want to ask the question. Everybody else is thinking it. And you go, hey, Bob, why don't you ask, you know, you want Bob to look stupid. You don't want to look stupid, right?
Yeah.
No, we all have that, right?
Yeah.
That's the culture that a lot of companies create. They create this fear-based, you know, don't ask me, don't come to me with problems unless you have solutions kind of mentality. That was really, why did you say that kind of thing? You're afraid to talk. And then we get status quo thinking, which is really problematic. You know, there's a famous thought experiment that looked at status quo thinking of why people go along with just what everybody else is going along with, which was a lot of what I thought about in this research when I was coming up with these four factors. A woman went into a doctor's office, eye doctor, thinking she's getting her eyes examined, right? But in reality, it was a thought experiment going on. And she's the only one there that's not in on it. Everybody around her is actors. And so while she's sitting there waiting, somebody rings a bell or a buzzer kind of sound goes off. And everybody around her, these actors, got up and sat down with no explanation. And then every time this bell went off, they did the same thing, you know? And they went up and down. And she's looking around at them going, okay, this is like really weird look on her face. But so after a few times of them doing this, what do you think happens when the bell rings? She gets up with them and sits down. Because everybody else is doing it, right? So she's getting up and sitting down, and they're like, well, okay. So she's going along with it. She has no idea why she's going along with it. She's just doing it, right? So they go, well, this will be interesting. Let's take everybody out of the room and see what she does when she's alone. So they call everybody back like they're getting their eyes examined, and she's left alone. So what do you think she does when the bell rings? She still gets up and sits down. And because this is social learning, you learn what's status quo thinking. This is what you're supposed to do, but we don't know why, right? Mm-hmm. So she gets used to doing that. And they think, well, let's just add some real people off the street. See what happens when they get in the room. Bell goes off. She stands up, sits down. The first guy comes in, sit next to her, looks at her and says, why'd you do that? And she goes, well, everybody else was doing it. I thought I was supposed to. So what do you think he does when the bell rings the next time, right? Okay. And everybody else who come in. We all stand up and sit down because we don't want to feel uncomfortable. We don't want to have that fear-based, I'm the only one not doing it kind of, or thinking this or saying this kind of mentality. So fear did not surprise me. Mm-hmm. And so that's a huge thing. And then fear ties into other factors. I mean, you get fear of technology, or you can have fear that leads to these assumptions in our head. Now, assumptions are very big in terms of, you know, that's, well, I'm not going to like that. That sounds boring. Or mm-hmm. I've done that in the past. It wasn't very good. Or, you know, we tell ourselves all these things, you know, my boss is just going to give me more work if I say something about this, and then I'm not going to get paid for it. Whatever it is you tell yourself, right? And these assumptions, it's like holding water. Let's say I held a thing of water in my hand. And I ask you, how heavy is this? You might say 8 ounces or 10 ounces or whatever. And the fact is, it doesn't really matter how heavy it is. It matters how long I hold it. And if I hold it for a second or two, no big deal. If I hold it for an hour, my arm starts to get tired. Mm-hmm. If I hold it all day, my arm is paralyzed. But our thoughts are like that. If we hold on to something quickly, it's no big deal. But if we start telling ourselves the same things over and over again, it starts to make us uncomfortable. If we hold on too long, we become paralyzed. So we need to put the water down, right? We need to stop thinking all these thoughts. But we have to recognize that we're even holding the water to begin with. And that's mm-hmm. what the assumptions part was. And then technology, a lot of us underutilize it. We become so reliant on things. We don't even know why. We don't know how she came up with it on the Echo device. We just know she answers the question. And maybe our real passion in life would be to program those questions that she answers. But if we don't even know why or how she comes up with them, or, you know, we need to get foundations. We need to do that. But we also need to understand the technology and utilize it to the best of its advantages. And so some of us get like, oh, it's too much. I don't want to learn it. I just learned the last, you know, version of it. Do I really want to learn the next version? And, you know, we get into all these different problems with technology that sometimes we become lazy or we become whatever, you know, complacent. And then with environment, that's like a huge one for a lot of people. It is for me. I mean, your family really can have a big impact. Your school, as I mm-hmm. mentioned, once you get 5 or 6 years old, you're in school. Teachers aren't going to answer every why question you have. They don't have time. They got 30 other kids. They have to teach to the test. They have curriculum. There's a ton of reasons why the, you know, our education system really, as Sir Ken Robinson's TED Talk says, you know, we're educating people out of our capabilities because we're focusing so much on science and math and certain things that sometimes these soft skills, these creativity type things, these curiosity based things get, you know, by the wayside. And mm-hmm. that's what's happening, is we need to relearn some of this natural sense. And to do that, we have to recognize what's holding us back. And mm-hmm. if it's a parent saying you have to be a policeman, we all have been policemen, or we have to be an accountant because we all have been accountant, or if your teacher just didn't answer that, or your last boss looked at you and said, I can't believe you just said that. That was really stupid. Or, well, you don't know how many things, social media, you post something, if somebody doesn't like it, you know, our heads explode. So you know, there's so many things that impact us. And that's why I thought it was really important, if when people take this assessment, they get, you know, the 26 page report and all that, just like if you took a Myers-Briggs or DISC or some kind of an assessment, but it tells you, you know, these are these areas, this is where you can improve, and this is how you need to create an action plan to overcome them. And then we can really develop, because if AI is going to take over your job, if you're really not happy in your job, if we really have all this low engagement and all that, wouldn't it be great to find the things that we really are good at, that we really would care to do, which we'd really love if we'd only explored it? And mm-hmm. that's what I'm trying to do.
Absolutely. That's great. So it seems like our first step is obviously to realize that there's a problem, to realize that there could be more curiosity in our life and that we don't have that, and that that's a valuable thing. From that point forward, there is this assessment which can, you know, break down the particulars, but would you have some advice for, in general, anyone as an entrepreneur or a business owner, small steps that they could take to kind of move in this direction and get in touch with their curious side again?
Well, I really think understanding the value of curiosity, which we're talking about now, is the first step. We understand that. And now, as we look at these, just write down those four things: fear, assumptions, technology, and environment. Write them down on a piece of paper and think of different areas in your life that, you know, this has maybe impacted you. Do you have a fear of looking dumb? Do you have a fear of looking unprepared? Do you have a fear of, you know, all the things that you might be held back by? And once you point out to yourself all these different things, come up with kind of a personal SWOT. You know, think of your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, your threats, you know, in life, and create kind of SMART goals of ways to overcome some of these things. If you have a fear of exploration, or if you, you know, at work, you know, just sometimes just telling your boss that, you know, you're trying to advance your abilities in certain areas, and preface what you're trying to do so they see you're working on self-development. They're less likely to go, well, that's dumb, or this is, you know what I mean? If you say, you know, I know everybody's working on engagement here, and I thought to become more engaged, I thought it would help me to maybe look into a few different areas within the company. Is there a chance I can learn about this division or that division? Look at a couple different opportunities. Just in your own personal life, read a different section in the newspaper than you always read. Take a different route to work. Look at things from a new perspective. Try to put yourself in somebody else's shoes here and there. Just don't be you for a day. Just see what it's like to be someone else. You know, and that helps build empathy, which is a big part of emotional intelligence, which is what I wrote my dissertation about. And I think, you know, all of this ties into emotional intelligence, because the more you explore and ask people about themselves, the more empathy you're going to build. And we all know empathy and emotional intelligence in general helps people be a lot more successful at work.
Absolutely. And be a lot better towards each other as well.
Communicating. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's great. Great advice. My last question is kind of a funny one, but I just was throwing in that the idea that curiosity killed the cat. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see if you had any thoughts about whether there is any value in limiting our curiosity, if it can be taken too far, or if you feel like this is something that should be unleashed and we should run with.
Well, I mean, if you're curious about how many levels you can get through in Candy Crush, that might not be the best kind of curiosity. Mm-hmm. So we have to have directed, goal-oriented, serious curiosity here we're talking. We're not talking just, hey, you know, look in all directions and not really have any meaning or purpose. Think about just the kind of curiosity that is directed at learning something new, something that's beneficial to you, that'll make your life a little better. I mean, curiosity killed the cat came from parents who didn't want their kids asking so many questions that was driving them crazy, right? Like, yeah, stop. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's part of the thing that killed curiosity, is saying curiosity killed the cat. Mm-hmm. So stop saying that. We don't want people saying that. And we want people to really think about really directed curiosity that's got an end goal that's going to get you somewhere, that you want to be, and not just in a game where you're going to end up nowhere. And I think that there's so many different ways that you can become curious about all kinds of different things. I think it's really cool to just look into areas that you normally wouldn't explore, because you've told yourself that voice in your head, your assumptions are that you wouldn't find it interesting. Learn something new, a different topic each week. Just look into it, see if it interests you. If it doesn't, it's not going to kill the cat. It's just, it's not meant.